Thank you. Excuse me. Thought I'd get up and say how much I appreciate the Lord today. You know, all the songs and things and what Jesus really did. Because he has done a lot. And he still is going to do a lot in my life. And I seem like every time he deals in my life, I get scared because I always think something's going to happen. And it's always look like, you know, because the things that's been on my mind was suffering, you know, and we have to suffer to overcome things in our life. And I thought, you know, is it really the suffering that we go through is in the department of financial or physical, in your physical body or in your mind or with your family? Is that the suffering that he's talking about? Or is it that we suffer in the area of having to give up our part of the world to become righteous? And so that's been kind of on my mind too, but really the things that Christ came here to do, he has done something in my life. You know, he said a little bit about many shall come in my name. I can't remember all of it, you know, and I got to thinking about that. And so I went to the great world of the internet. And I started looking of all the things that you know, Christ was born of a virgin and he went all that. And there was about 8 or 9 different individuals over the, even before Christ. There was one in Egypt that was supposed to have been born of a virgin, and it came up, and he had a bunch of disciples, and he hung on a cross, from what I understood. But you know, nothing has ever been done like what Christ did, and that was to get us back in the condition with God that Adam took away. And you know, and it's went on down through all these years until now. And I'm glad of that. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for what Christ did for me and what he's did for you. And Brother Smith was talking about here something about confidence. And you know, it does take a little bit of confidence on our part to really trust God and to let God deal in our lives, to trust him enough, and that gives you confidence to live for him. It gives you hope, and it gives you something in your life that goes beyond what this world has to offer. Because, you know, I remember as a kid going to the Strawberry Festival, and I think it only cost about 25 or 30 cents. But we went to, we'd get to go to the movies, and we'd watch Hop Along Cassidy, or watch some of the other ones. He sung Happy Trails to You, huh? Roy Rogers. I mean, he was a big hit back then, wasn't he? And he looked like he always shot straight, and he never told a lie, and he loved his horse Trigger. But you know, it goes beyond that. That love of Christ goes beyond somebody wearing a cowboy hat and wearing guns and a boots and spurs. It goes beyond that. It goes beyond anything that is imaginable in this world. Because it gets down in your heart, and it gets down in your soul, and it changes things in your life if we would just let him. It goes beyond the even imagination. God can touch your heart and your soul, even when you think he has left you, even when you think you're the only person on this earth and nobody loves you, but God is right there. What's that song? He was there all the time. He was there all the time. When you go and you hit your lowest spot on this earth and you think, I can't go any lower than what I am now. But you know, sometimes, or I know in me, I had to get so low that before God could actually do anything with me, I had to get so low down in my life that that was the only way God could touch my life. You know, and what we're here today for is we're buying the Word of God. We're here to buy. And less, because this Word that God is trying to sell to us is nothing but truth and life. I know I'm not a salesman, but I think my brother could probably sell an icebox to an Eskimo, but I couldn't sell nothing. I couldn't. But if I'm here today, and if I can sell you anything, it would be the Word of God. It would be Jesus Christ. And that would be what I would be trying to sell to you, would be Jesus Christ and letting him get in your heart and in your mind and in your soul, where it becomes 100%, and it will get down in your soul and it will begin life anew. Even if, like I said a while ago, even if you're at the bottom, plumb to the bottom, and there's no, and the only thing you can do is just look up. Even if you're there, like I said a while ago, he was there all the time. He's there. And he can help you. He can do things for you that your family, your wife, your children, your mother and father can never do. But anyway, I just wanted to get up and expound on Christ and on God, because that is our Creator, and to let him know that I love him. I love Jesus today. I love him. Even though there's things in my life that I'm struggling with, but he knows all of it. He knows all of that. But at the same time, he still loves me. And you know, at the same time, he still loves you. You know, sometimes we let our own struggles get in the way of serving God. Sometimes we let the outside world out here get in our way of serving God. But if we'll put God first in our life before any other thing, God will hold true to his word. And that is that he will save us, that he will deliver us from our sinful nature. So I appreciate God, don't you? I appreciate him. I'm glad that God gave me the Holy Ghost, because without that, I would still have a hard time. But it makes it a whole lot easier, doesn't it? I'm glad that God has brought me this far, and I want to try to have the confidence that it takes to go on with him. So anyway, I love God, and pray for us. Pray for us.
Appreciate the Lord and getting to be here in the house of God again. Pray for me. I'm still fighting a little bit of a cold, but I appreciate the song service and Sister Cindy, her song and the thoughts that were being projected there. The band song. Jesus ain't the sweetest name I know. No, it ain't. It's the sweetest name I need to know. It's the sweetest name I ought to know. It's the sweetest name I need to call. But unfortunately, it's not the sweetest name I know. Because the sweetest name I love to hear is my own. You get me? How many loves your own name? Mildred Crow. Don't you love hearing that name? I love saying it. Jody. I know you like hearing your name. But the sweetest name I know is my own, and that's the way we all are. But we want to know His name. To know Him in the fullness. And we were baptized into His death. Therefore, we are baptized into His life. He is the sweetest name we know if we'll accept that name and allow that to have a place in us. But so many times, it's just me walking this. And He's with me. God is my co-pilot. I promise, I'm not going to be up long. I don't want to use my tokens up. I want to save a token for the next service. Maybe I can get up again. But He isn't always the sweetest name we know. And for that, I'm sorry, Lord. Because everyone sitting in this room, more than likely, has the Holy Ghost. More than likely. Everyone sitting in this room has felt the Spirit of God come down and touch them. At some point in your life, you felt God come down and touch your heart. And yet when I sing that song, I didn't feel that the cap ever got taken off the plate there. You know what I mean? The only thing I can liken it to is this right here. Is, you know, you can cook a good dish, and you can have it underneath the pan, and you can smell it. It's the work of an evangelist. That's why he's called the nose. He's supposed to, it's that excitement in that nose that tells your stomach, whew, there's something coming. There's something cooking. If you don't believe me, I'll tell you what. Women, tomorrow night when you get home from work and your husband's been all day out sweating it out and earning that whole hard-earned dollar that we think the Benjamins that can get us out of all of our trouble, just throw him a big old heap of rotten garbage on his plate and see if he's still hungry. Because it's something in that nose that triggers this body to say, whoo, that smells good. I feel that. And that old Jody can start cooking something. I know I'm hungry, but I don't want to eat. I'm just, because I don't want to stop to eat. But I walk in there, and she's got the ragu pouring in there, and the meats are cooking. I can't stand raw meat cooking, though, by the way, but I do like it after the ragu's in it. And you smell all that, and oh, there's that aroma. There's that, and before long, oh man, I'm starving to death. Well, that's the way I kind of felt that we're at right now. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just the Jeff thing. There's that name again. I tell you what, you wanna. You know the only time people don't want their names called is when they're in trouble? Mr. Pryor? No. Don't call me right now. I don't want that. Don't want it. Don't want it. Well, you done it. How do I go about calling on His name? We got to take the lid off this thing. We can just keep and stirring. I just said I don't like cooking. The reason I don't like cooking is I can't stand to watch the meat change in the pan. And that old meat gets that old slimy gray. Ooh, it gets that old slimy gray on it. And it's that process, and you think, I admire you women. I don't know how y'all can just scoop that up and just, and eat. I don't know. I couldn't cook and eat the same. I couldn't. I'd have to cook it today, warm it up, nuke it tomorrow, and eat it. I've done it before. I've gone to cook a hamburger in the stove. I mean, on my frying pan or a I can do it on the grill because I can cover it up and it can cook without me watching. It's when it's in that pan full of that grease and it's all simmering and it's slimy and it's nasty. And ain't nobody likes change. And ain't nobody likes the process of it because guess what? It's an ugly metamorphosis. If you go to Buffalo Grill and go back and you say, my Lord, what has this got to do? I'm not starting a culinary class here, okay? I'm just telling you. It's an ugly process. And I've cooked it before and then I get done eating, I get done looking at it and I'm thinking, I can't eat that. I can't eat that. Now she can do it and I can eat it. But I can't watch her cook it. If you go to Buffalo Grill and go back there, I guarantee you what you see back there ain't going to be what you're going to want to eat on your plate. Because everything's taken change back there. And that's the way we are. And when I come in here and I want to uncover my dish, it has to be a prepared dish to some degree. There's been some work going in. And I feel that if we'll just call on His name, and we'll just, you want just raise your hands and say, Jesus, and call on the name of the Lord, that He wants to come in. He wants, you sang that song that He, this is the way I think about it, that He dwells in the praises of His people. That's kind of the way that one statement said in it. He is thrilled with, how'd it go? With an offering of praise. But He don't want me to sit here and proclaim how great Jeff Pryor is. Okay, He knows that. He knows I'm great. He made me. He fashioned me in His image. It's amazing that your God looks like me. Say, wow. I'm just saying all that to say that sometimes the thing that holds the throne of our heart ain't really what needs to be. That the person that holds the throne of my heart is too often, too many times me. It's just too much of me. And whenever I get to where I don't even like that same process inside myself, that I want to get to the finished product, that I finally want to achieve, as Paul said in Philippians, the third chapter, I finally want to apprehend it, that for which I was apprehended for. You have a grand opportunity in front of you today. And if we can just offer that praise to God and to His Son, Jesus Christ, King of kings, Lord of lords, which the song said that Master, Savior, Jesus. Say it. Master, Savior, Jesus. Say it with some feeling in it. Master, Savior, Jesus. Again, Jesus. Let's go. That's all it is. He's a step away from inhabiting the praises of His people today. If we can just offer that up instead of just keeping this thing on a lid on this, because I may look a little out of place. Let me tell you, you're not going to look out of place in the house of God saying the name Jesus. I promise you, Master, Master, Savior, Jesus, help us today, Lord. We need You here. There are people that need help, and I'm one of them. Because what you see sometimes is just that old gray slug burger going on while I'm being cooked. Dear God, we say we want it, but then we're not willing to reach for it. It's not like somebody's asking you to give a pound of flesh. There's nobody asking you for nothing. Nobody's requiring anything. Except for the one that breathed life into your nostrils. Except for the one that came down and wretched into your soul, your old dirty, rotten, stinking soul, and breathed life into that one day and said, would You come and follow Me? And let me tell you, there's a world through them double doors and out that glass front pane window thing out there, that glass door, that groans and it's earnestly waiting, expecting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And God has offered to you through that Holy Ghost a sonship, a chance to be His child. To say, will you come and follow me? How many times did He say that to people? How many people did He go through? Will you come and follow me? Will you come and follow me? Would you? Well, I can't leave my fishes and nets because that's my money. I can't leave this behind. If God takes me to be a pauper back to being a pauper, then I'll be a pauper. Because I'm just a hair's breadth ahead of that anyway. I'm always just slightly behind the eight ball. Anybody, y'all know what that means. We all been there. If God wants me to work on them old diesel, nasty, stinking diesel trucks, then I'll work on them till the day I die. Apparently He does, because He ain't made me independently wealthy. What are we willing to give up? All He's asking for, if anything, of you and I is a sacrifice of praise. That's not money. That's not the Benjamins. That's not your grandma's heirloom brooch. It's nothing precious. It's nothing that's deemed worthy in this world. It's not your car. It's not your home. He's not asking you to sacrifice your child. He asked for very little of your time. All He's asking for is a sacrifice of praise. Just a small token of your earnest, honest to God appreciation for Him coming down and giving you life. The precious thing, I guarantee you, if your heart stops now, you will wish back for 30 seconds just so you can say, dear God, Jesus, Jesus, help me, Lord. And let me tell you, He is here to help you. He is not just some figment of some boy's imagination. He's not something that's been made up and conjured up in all the stories of yesteryear and throughout the antiquities of time have conjured up this story to rope you into some kind of submission or bondage, if you will, for Brother Mark, for we have not received the spirit of fear again to bondage, but you have received the spirit of adoption. Of adoption. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Adoption. You and I were a bastard. Ungodly. Unwanted. No good to society. Very little good to ourselves. Living just in whatever way we wanted to live. Whether good or bad, that's the thing. Whether good or bad. Not everybody went to the same excess of rioting as others. But we all were ungodly. We all needed a heavenly Father. And whenever you adopt somebody, I had a lady in our church. I'm not going to go long. I'm fixing to sit down. We had a lady in our church. She was abandoned at 3 months old. She was born to a drug addict mother in L.A. or wasn't it L.A.? Somewhere out in California. Little black girl. Abandoned. They found her in a... She just left off. Nobody wanted her. So finally this family adopted her. And they brought her in. And they gave her their last name. See, there is strength in your name. And they educated her. And they clothed her. They gave her all the good things of life that she needed to grow up to be healthy and wealthy. Or healthy, at least. She wasn't wealthy. And she never really knew what it meant to be adopted on the spiritual side. She just knew what it meant to be adopted on the natural side. Somebody that was left, nothing, cast away from the very mother that bore them. The two parents that conceived her didn't want her. She could relate to that. And I watched tears roll down her eyes one day when we was up talking about and we was fellowship and we was talking about being adopted. How that Christ came and has adopted you, has offered you a sonship, has gave His last name to you. How much more precious is that last name, that opportunity? No, it's not going to get you a burger. No, it's not going to get you a tank of gas. Some countries it'll get you stoned. Some places it's going to get you mocked. Some places it's going to cost you some skin in the game because people don't, not everybody appreciates you going by the name Jesus, professing to be that. But this world is waiting. Are you going to be that people? Am I going to be that people? I'm not rebuking you in any way, please. I'm just trying to implore to us, to offer to you, that all we have to sacrifice is very minimal. If somebody come up to you and said, it's everything you own, or this is your last breath of air, you'd give them everything. They could leave you naked and destitute right there, and you would be happy. You may be embarrassed, but you would be happy because you'd be alive. Because there's nothing that's not replaceable on this side of this, except for life. You can't replace death. I mean, you can't replace a life. What you're wasting, what I've wasted, what I may waste in the future, I can't get back. All I can do is redeem it. All I can do is try to do better tomorrow, the next day. That's why recovering from sin is a process. It's a metamorphosis that takes place. It don't happen overnight, and it ain't going to happen in one day. And all He's asking for you right now, that's it. It's just a small token, a penny's worth. A penny's worth of your praise. Seems pretty simple, don't it? I'm short. I'm sorry that I didn't back the song service as hard as I knew I could. When we get behind each other, because it's not about me, even though I said the greatest name in here is mine, I guarantee you, to me, the greatest person in this room is me. Not in stature, I'm 5'8". Okay? Not in muscle, I'm mostly fat. Not in money, I'm really poor. Not in anything like that. But because I love to hear me, I love for people to sing my praises. How much more do you think He is sitting the other side of that little metal roof right there, looking down in this little church and saying, I brought you out of this world. My God, I brought you out of this world. The opportunity that I have given you, I've given you food. I've given you clothing, raiment, shelter. You're fat. You're wealthy in many ways. And yet I can't even hardly lift my hands up for fear that somebody may see me. Somebody may think that I'm going to break. I need to break. See, my dad never taught me a man don't cry, because my dad cried a lot. He's a very emotional type person in some ways, and he's very shut off in others. It's kind of a strange deal, I know. Just the way we rolled. We're priors. But He always told me He loved me. To this day, I've never doubted my Father's love for me. Ever. Ever. Does God doubt your love? So many times, we are judging people by their actions, and we're judging ourselves by our intentions. And that is a false scale. That's an uneven balance. I'm not trying to fix anything here today. I'm just saying, let's praise the Lord. That's it. That's all I am. That is just flat out all I'm trying to say. I'm just kind of saying it differently. So what say ye, church? Huh? What say ye? Can we all stand up and raise our hands. Let's cry out to Jesus. Let's prove me wrong. Let's see if He'll come into this room here and see if He'll fill us and meet our needs here today. I know He can do this for you because He's wanting to. He is waiting to hear His name to come into this room and touch all of us. We have got some needs. Our young people have needs. Our old people have needs. I need You, Jesus. Oh, God, thank You so much, Lord, for this life, Lord. Touch our church, Lord. Touch our people. Help all of us, Lord. Oh, God, call out, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, help us, Lord. Jesus, help us, Lord. Oh, God, just call out on His name today. That's all you have to do. It is a small token. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Touch us here, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Master, Savior that You are to me, Lord. Oh, God. Jesus. Praise Your name, Lord. Oh, God.
What shall I bring?
Yes, Lord. Thank You, Lord.
such a small sacrifice. Isn't it a shame that we can't offer that? And we have to be reminded. Jesus come to this world, and he made the statement. He said, I am come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. That's a strange statement to people out in the world, because they're already alive, and yet, unbeknownst to them, they're dead. When we were born into this world, we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We were born with death as our reward for living in this world. Did you know that when you were born and you were, wrapped in these swaddling clothes, laid in a bed, that you had nothing to look forward to except death until God dealt with your life? Thank God for dealing with our lives. If you don't realize how important it is, go back and read your world history book. Did you know that one time I read the world history book in school? And all those nations that become head powers of the world, they didn't last forever. They finally fell. Somebody finally got the upper hand over them and become their leaders, become their dictators. Isn't it strange that all those things took place, and yet when we're born into this world and we live here, we think of ourselves as living forever. And youth, young people really have this bad. They think they're going to live forever. It don't make any difference what they do. You know, they can get in cars and drive 100 miles an hour. If they wreck, it's not going to kill them. They can get on motorcycles and just wind them things up as fast as they go. If that thing lays down with them, it's not going to kill them. What else? Getting trucks. Whatever. Young people have this idea that it doesn't make any difference what they do. It's nothing's going to harm them. You know? And then as you get a little bit older, you begin to find out. I found out at the age of 24 that if a tractor run over your head, you were fortunate to come out alive. Right, bud? And, you know, I come out of it alive. And then when I got to the doctor's office and he examined me, this guy really come up with a brilliant statement, was what I thought, you know. It was just real brilliant on his part. Young man, do you realize how fortunate you are to be alive? I thought, dummy, I was the one that was there. What are you doing telling me that? But I come out alive. I started getting over this idea that, you know, you'd just about do anything, you'd be all right. I started getting over that thought pattern that, you know, nothing could kill me. I'd make it through to the other side. Let me go back to this idea that people have, this idea that we're living in a great nation, and this is the greatest nation in the world right now. If you have doubts about that, talk to some of these people coming here from other countries and becoming citizens of this nation. They'll tell you in no uncertain terms that even though we're having difficulties in this nation, even though we're having problems here, we're still in the greatest nation in the world. And we should be thankful for what privileges we do have. We realize, according to the scriptures, that this is not always going to be this way. That eventually this nation too will fall, as other nations through history have done. And let me tell you something. There is one nation that's coming out here that's going to last forever. And that's the nation we're trying to get into. Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We know that Jesus is building a church. And this church is going to become a great nation. And it's going to last forever. But there's a way to get into it. You have to come to the door to get into it. You have to realize that, look, Where I'm at is not working. What I'm doing is not working. My life is a mess. I'm in the wrong place doing the wrong things at all the time. I need some help. And Jesus will help you. Jesus will help you. I'm telling you, Jesus is the answer to all the problems of the whole wide world. He's the answer. When you begin to realize that your life is full of sin, you come to an altar and you ask God to forgive you. Did you know that He will? He will forgive you. And He'll accept you. Brother Pryor was saying here a while ago that He's accepted all of us. And we're all in the same boat that you're in. We have all been there. Every one of us, if we stood up and told you the background that we come from, where we were at, when Jesus began to deal with our lives, and we begin to yield to that calling, we would tell you some of the same things that you're feeling in your heart. Amen. But you can find answers for your life. You can find a purpose. You can find something to live for. When I first come to God, I didn't realize how great His plan was. But tonight I realize that there's something that I'm going to be a part of throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. This is not something that's just going to be here today and gone tomorrow. This country we're living in, it's great. And it's here today. But it's not going to be here forever like the one I'm talking about. I'm talking about a nation that's going to rule and reign, be a part of what God's doing throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity, and we're going to be a part of it. Hallelujah, thank God. Hallelujah. But when He dealt with my life, allowed me to get saved, and I heard about the Holy Ghost. And a lot of people like to think, well, getting the Holy Ghost, you know, you get that when you get saved. I'm sorry to differ with you, but it's not scriptural. Getting saved is an experience in God. It is real. And it's part of this package. It's part of the salvation package. You're supposed to get saved. And, you know, getting saved, you can get the Holy Ghost the same night you get saved. I've seen people do that through the years. Come down to the altar and get saved and get filled with the Holy Ghost the same night. Let me tell you something. Getting the baptism of the Holy Ghost is an experience beyond and better than just getting saved. It's better. Then getting a revelation of the body of Jesus Christ is even better than that. This is not just another church. This is not just another place. But this is a part of what God is doing in the earth. And we've been called as a part of it. When you become a child of God, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you become a child of God. Did you know there's not a mother or a father that's a true mother or a true father that doesn't or is not concerned about their children regardless to where they're at and what they're involved in? If you have people that love you and care about you, they suffer. And they're bothered and they worry and they fret. And they're praying for you regardless of what you're involved in. Here's what happens to a lot of people when they come in, they get the Holy Ghost, and they think, well, I can go out in the world and just go ahead on, you know, and I can forget about God and He'll forget about me. Don't ever kid yourself. God never forgets about you. God does not forget about you. You're His child, and He cares for you. What I'm trying to tell you is I don't care where you go into the depths of hell. You can get involved in anything you want to get involved in. God's still there. God's there. And He may allow you to get involved in everything in the world out here. But don't ever kid yourself. God knows where you're at, and He knows what you're doing. And He's maybe dealing with your heart. Because I've watched people through the years. You know, they'll go out and they'll do something. God will deal with them. And instead of them turning to the Lord or returning back to the Lord, they just go out and getting something worse. You know, the Lord deal with them. They still don't repent. They go out and get into something worse. They're really running from God's what they're doing. And who in their right mind thinks that they can outrun God? Anybody here thinking outrun God? I'm sorry if you feel that way, because it ain't going to happen. God is there. You can get in an airplane, go as high as you want to, go clear out of the atmosphere to where that you can't breathe air without something to put over your face and breathe with. God's there. God's there. But if God is dealing with your life, you're a fortunate person.
Amen. Yes,
you are. You're fortunate. I'm telling you, you're fortunate. Not any worse than the rest of us that's standing here tonight, because we feel like we're fortunate that God dealt with our lives. We're not any better than you are, not any worse than you are, but we're still here. We're still thanking God for dealing with our lives. We're filled with great thankfulness. Some of us have this idea, though, that, well, I've just done so much wrong. There's no way that God would deal with my life and bring me back to what he's got going in there today. Let me tell you something. God cares for his children. He cares for his children better than I care for mine. He cares for his children better than you care for your children. God cares for his children. And aren't we glad tonight that he does? Because all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're trying. We're working on something. We're working in something. But we're working on something too. We realize that we're short tonight. We don't have all the answers to life's problems. We don't have them. But we're serving one who does.
Yes,
amen. Hallelujah. We're serving one who does. And eventually, he's going to give us the answers to some of life's problems, the way that we can help people. That's what he came for. He came here to help people. He came that we might have life in that more abundantly.
Amen.
Oh, say, thank God. Amen. I've got more life tonight. Yes. I've got more life tonight than I had when I started out serving the Lord. I have more life tonight than what I had before I come to the altar and prayed out to him. I've got more life. More life than what I ever dreamed would be possible for me. Oh, I thank God tonight that he sent his son to this earth and he gave his life on the cross of Calvary, and he died there that we might have what we have here tonight. I don't want to fail. I don't want to fall short in giving my offering of praise. I want to let him know that I appreciate what he's done for me. Hallelujah. I want him to know that I appreciate him, that I'm thankful. If you're hearing, and you're hearing what I'm saying, if you don't have the vision that I have, just say, God, would you give me the vision that that man has? I'm praying that I can get the vision that some of these other fellas have. But if we'll get the vision that Jesus has, oh, thank God, dear saints, we've got something to hold on to. We've got something to look forward to. This church that we're having here tonight, this is just a drop in the bucket. That's what Brother Tucker used to say years and years ago. That what we're doing tonight is just a drop in the bucket to what we're going to do in the near future. And I'm not talking about 100 years down the road. I'm not talking about 1,000 years down the road. I'd like to say that probably within 20 years, 25 years, we're going to see some things that we've never even imagined about seeing. My Lord, I know that God is going to do something. He's going to make some moves among us that we don't realize even yet sometimes. We can sit here and we think, well, I got this vision. I understand this, I understand that, and what have you. And I'm talking about God can move into our midst to where that when men stand on their feet and begin to talk, that there's something on the inside of you that stirs. Your Holy Ghost will become alive, and you know that that is a man of God talking to us as the oracles of God are beginning to be revealed in his mind, and they'll touch your mind and illuminate your soul. Hallelujah. That seems so far away right now, doesn't it? Seems like it's far away. But I'm telling you, begin to look up. Look up. There's something coming down the road that we, our minds can't hardly conceive it yet. I'm telling you, it's exciting. I'm just thinking about it, it's exciting. I know that there's great things happening. Going to happen, even greater than what we're seeing tonight. I appreciate what God's doing. I appreciate this church. I appreciate this covering of the Holy Ghost. I appreciate God. I appreciate what he's doing in the earth. And I'm glad he led me to be a part of it.
Who? never known a love like this before. Hung on a tree, and there you thought of me. And all I can say, who am I? But at the cross, you laid down your life so I could find mine. I've never known a love like this before.
Appreciate the song there, Sister Amy. Where'd you go? There you go. Appreciate that. It is a good song. I'm just going to close this out. That be okay? Close it in a bloom. Go out into the world and get a chance to witness. Then witness. Invite people to church. Do what you do. Let's come back Wednesday night. Expecting something, expecting the Lord to come in. Think about between now and then a praise in your heart. Walk every day with a praise in your heart. Let God, let Him be the bow of your ship, and let Him break that. You know, when those big ships are going through the Arctic Ocean and that's all froze out there, the front of that boat can break that ice. And that's the way we can be. If we'll keep Him out in the forefront of our life, He can break the hardness of this life for us and part that for us so that it's easy sailing for us. Anyway, good day or good night, and the Lord bless you. Thank you for responding to the Lord. I appreciate Brother McGowan's talk to us, encouragement to us. And anyway, just good night, and the Lord bless you.